What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, Caroline Fenton, in for Chase McCabe today. Willie Donick joins us now. Willie, we've been breaking down the Titans' loss to the Cowboys last night. I want to get your thoughts on it, but I started the show by saying I think that this could absolutely be considered a moral victory for the Titans. Yes, it's the sixth loss in a row, but I think that there is so much good to take away from it. The Titans didn't get blown out by a Cowboys team that's looked pretty solid all year, and it looks like they found their starting quarterback for Week 18 against the Jags.
Caroline, I am a graduate of Vanderbilt University. I watched a lot of Vanderbilt football games over the years, and so I am very careful to throw out moral victories because they can sink you if you go to that well too many times. So there have been a lot of Vanderbilt games where, you know, they play somebody they're not supposed to beat. They play them tough, and everybody pats them on the back and says, hey, great job, guys. You really fought. But in this case, I think you're absolutely right. I said it yesterday on our show. I wanted to see them fight. I know they did what they did. They had to do it. It was the smart move. It was what was the right thing to do. It's all about next week. But at the same time, I didn't want to see them mail it in. And I thought they really did play very hard last night. And as Mike Vrabel said, if they didn't have a few too many mistakes, that game could have maybe been a little bit close. I also think Dallas kind of sleptwalked. I thought they thought, hey, we're just going to kind of roll in here. We should win even without our best. And I think they made the Cowboys work for it. So I agree. There's some things that I think give you a lot of hope that they could turn around and win in Jacksonville next week.
Yeah, it did. Willie, one of those is, you know, that Dobbs looked more in command. He looked more poised, and rightfully so. You expect a guy that has been in the NFL 6 years and been at some of the places that he's been, you know, to have that poise. I think it helps him that he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers organization for the time he was there, playing behind, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and learning offenses, you know, learning how to go out and move an offense and be the leader of a offensive unit. So to me, it showed last night that he took all of those things that he has learned, and he implemented it in this one game that he was able to be a starter from beginning to end. His stats could have been a lot better if it wasn't for some drops, but he also made some mistakes that I think next week you can't have against a divisional foe. But in all, I think he played well. I think he gave that offense an opportunity to put up points. I'm not just being a sport guy and playing in that league. More victories doesn't mean anything to guys like Byard or Simmons or anybody else. They want to get the victory. But I think it does make them look at the next game a little bit different had Malik Willis been in the game.
Yeah, Caroline, let me add this on Dobbs. Number one, I he's just such an impressive guy. You can't overlook that. I just like how he handles himself. His perspective was good. He said all the right things in the press conference last night. So I think you like the fact that regardless of how he does next week, and he's gonna start against Jacksonville. There's
100%.
No doubt in my mind. I think you feel like he's going to handle it like a pro. He may not play well, but I think he's going to do the preparation. I think he's going to have the respect of his teammates. I think for the given the fact that, you know, just 8 or 9 days in, he sort of grasped enough to be able to give them a few layers that they didn't have while Malik Willis was quarterbacking. They could call some plays that they didn't feel comfortable calling before. I think sink or swim, I think you'll have a good feeling going in. I think that's going to be key. And, Derek, you tell me. You know, it's easy. We were watching the game together last night, myself, Hal Gill, Lindsey Rowley. We just went over to a sports bar and caught the game. Hal was saying, you know, can he win the respect of the team? Like, can they believe in him enough in this short period of time to where they go down to Jacksonville and feel like they've got a chance? Because next week will feel different, right? The Cowboys, they needed to win that game, but I think they knew that their C-level game was going to win. Jacksonville is going to be in a different mental space. I mean, they haven't played for much in a long time. There's going to be maybe some tension. There's going to be an intensity that wasn't there. So how do you think Josh Dobbs can do in that sort of winning the locker room over?
Honestly, Willie, it kind of seemed to me that he already had. I looked at that team last night, a team that I think has been playing kind of lethargic and uninspired. Like, you know those paddles that you get in the back of an ambulance? It's like, clear, and you just like bring somebody back to life. That's how I felt that team looked last night. That they just looked re-energized. That they looked like a team that was playing for something. That they looked like a team that had hope. And I think that was a team that was bought in to Josh Dobbs. And to your point, Willie, the post-game press conference, he was poised. He said all the right things. And I think that kind of showed on the field as well. He looked like a quarterback that just sat back in the pocket and looked incredibly poised and confident. I think the team has bought in already. And maybe it was just the idea of we've got a new quarterback in here that can, you know, at least give us another opportunity or a new opportunity. And I think that the team has continued to buy in from him there just based off of what we saw on the field last night.
Yeah, I think they're going to be fine in regards to that. I brought up an instance on the field that I saw yesterday, last night, where, you know, the Titans at Dallas had gotten pressure and you know, Dobbs went to throw the football and it wasn't a completion because he got pressure and everything else. And I think Dennis Daly had failed or something. So he ends up walking over to Dennis Daly and patting him on the butt and, you know, just giving him some words of encouragement. That means a lot to teammates, especially teammates that has been struggling, as Dennis Daly has. He feels now somebody has my back. I'm going to go out there and fight a little bit harder. Not to say things are going to change, but I'm going to fight a little bit harder because my quarterback believes in me. Right before the half, when Mike Vrabel was high-fiving people as they were coming out the field, going into the locker room, guess who was right next to him? Joshua Dobbs, doing the same things. Those are things that is going to gain the confidence of your teammates. More important, the confidence of the offense. So I think because of the way he played, because of his poise in the game, I think he's already gained that confidence. Now he has to go out there and reproduce what he did last night versus the Dallas Cowboys. And again, it's going to be a little bit tougher because it's a divisional game, and this is going to be a playoff environment for the Jacksonville Jaguars, so it's going to be a little bit different. But I think they feel confident as an offense that at least he gives them a shot to win. That's what he gives.
Caroline, I think your paddles, I think that's a good analogy because I like the body language. You could see it, right? They were picking each other up. They knew they were the underdog. They sort of took that stance. But every time something positive happened, I'm with you, Derek. I saw those things. And if somebody made a mistake, they were over there to pick them up, right? I thought I saw a team there. But what's going to be different next week? Last night was a nothing-to-lose atmosphere. Next week, I think they're going to go in there believing that they can win and need to win and will win. But I think that's a little different than the vibe from last night. So there's going to be more pressure next week. There's going to be a lot more on the line. And let's see what they look like when that happens with some key guys back in there. I think it's going to be a heck of a theater. There's a lot to play for. I think we're going to feel so much different down the road. If they can salvage this, I think that's a feather. That's a notch on their belt, regardless of what happens in the playoffs, I think. But if they don't win it, boy, it's really gonna feel differently to say, man, they couldn't win one more game when they were 7-3. You know what I mean? So there's a lot on the line next Sunday.
The people have some thoughts on Josh Dobbs as well, so we'll get to your phones. Phone lines driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Rob's up next. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
You know, there's no way that you can say Josh is better than Tannehill at this point, because Tannehill's got, he's got a track record. He's got history behind him. But if you look at the skill sets, I don't see much different in the skill sets at this point, except Josh is younger, faster, more mobile. His decision-making would get better. He's definitely more mobile than Tannehill.
I don't think people give Tannehill's mobility enough credit.
Hey, look at college. If we want to go back to that, that's about the only time we can really look at Josh.
Why are we going back to college?
He's the all-time leading rushing quarterback at Tennessee. He is a running quarterback.
Do you remember? You remember Tannehill was a receiver. You remember Tannehill was a receiver before he was a quarterback, right? Do you know that? That he was brought into college at, what was it, Texas Tech as a receiver.
Texas A&M
as a receiver, not a quarterback.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Rob. Look, I don't think people give Tannehill's running ability enough credit, his mobility enough credit. When you got the best running back in the league, you're going to run it with your running back to protect your quarterback. But let's not – and look, Josh Dobbs, I'll give him credit. He is incredibly elusive. He's got great running ability. But let's not act like Ryan Tannehill is some sort of Peyton Manning statue in the
exactly.
pocket.
Exactly. He's not.
That's not
he's
an the excellent case
runner.
At all.
He's not.
It was compromised. It was compromised
because of the ankle. Yeah. That's why he couldn't get outside the pocket.
I think going forward next year, if they keep him, which is looking more and more like it's going to be the best option to keep him, is can he regain that mobility to some degree? I don't know if he'll ever be the same as he was a couple years ago, but of course, at his best, we know he was an excellent runner. Excellent runner.
Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the game last night on Josh Dobbs. We'll get into that coming up next. Chase Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins the show now. Corey, Titans drop Thursday Night Football 27-13 to the Dallas Cowboys, but I've said all day long, even though this is the sixth loss in a row for the Titans, even though it was a loss at home on Thursday Night Football to the Dallas Cowboys, even though the stadium was probably 80% full of Dallas Cowboys fans, I'm still stepping away from this game feeling so much better about the Tennessee Titans. Your thoughts on the game last night?
Well, I think that's the overwhelming sentiment, is that they took a step forward in that football game. I mean, I know everybody hates the whole notion of moral victories and those sorts of things, but you know, the defense competed, and I think just the overwhelming notion that Josh Dobbs gives them a chance, where I don't know that people felt that way with Malik at this point, I think is the overwhelming sentiment. It's a ray of hope for the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, he wasn't the only guy to supply it, but he was the big one who supplied it.
News 2, Corey Curtis is with us. And I'm with you, Corey. I made up my mind almost halfway through the first quarter. I said, yep, Josh Dobbs, I can tell already, gives you a better chance to win in Week 18. So my question for you is, while we've made up our mind about Week 18, do you think the Titans have made up their mind about Malik Willis, not just next week, but next season as well?
You know, I don't know. It's a good question. You know, they work with him every day, so they see the progress that he's made and the progress that he hasn't made. And they've, you know, he's gotten chances to play this year, but even before the season, we all knew he was a guy who was probably a year or two away. Look, I think they have to have this conclusion, that I think it's the one you guys are going to agree with. There's no way they could go into next season with him as their number one. Like, you can't go into this offseason saying, all right, we're going to move on from Tannehill, we're going to go to Malik, he's going to have the whole offseason to get going. There's no way that they could possibly do that. So I think they have to know that it's got to be Tannehill or somebody else to start next season. Does that mean Malik can never be the guy? No, but I don't think he's ready anytime soon. And I think they have to have that same conclusion.
Now, with that being said, Corey, do you believe, regardless of what happens next week, I think Joshua Dobbs, I think he'll play well, but I think it'll be a little bit harder. One, it's a division game, and then two, now Jacksonville has film of him. But do you think moving forward, basically because of what he showed last night, that he's a guy that's going to be on this roster come next spring, and then they will allow, you know, whether it be Malik and someone else to battle it out for that number two?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, here's the other thing, you know, if you keep him on the roster, he's a lot like Tannehill, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's athletic, and he can move, and he can read, and he can make plays. And we don't know how substantial the surgery is going to be on Tannehill's ankle when this offseason is over, if he needs it. Because, like, if he needs, like, a Delanie Walker rebuild, I mean, that's a big surgery, and that's a tough rehab. And he may not be ready when next year gets started. And so you would need a guy who you knew you could roll out there for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks to start the year. So I think he would make a lot of sense. I mean, you know, you saw the experience. You saw how much more operational he was. And nobody's going to be beating down your door, you know, to pay Josh Dobbs $10 million to come and be their backup quarterback. So I think, you know, you can certainly afford him. You know, I don't like to make overreaching statements based on one game. I mean, we've seen guys – who was that? Who, remember that left-hander for the Lions with Scott Mitchell?
Yeah, Scott Mitchell. Yeah. Believe me, yeah, I know.
We've seen guys flash and then, you know, be, you know, handed the keys to the kingdom. And we're not talking about that. Mm-hmm. We're talking about handing him, you know, the keys to the back room and saying, you know, hey, we'd like for you to stay with us for a while. And I think, you know, look, he's a smart kid. He's a hard worker. He's athletic. And he can play. I mean, he can come in and operate an NFL offense. And I think, you know, that's the bottom line. And I know we're going to get more into this, but, you know, guys, the biggest key to me is he gets the ball to the Titans' playmakers. He gives their playmakers a chance to do something in the game where Malik just isn't ready to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now Derek doesn't have to do it all. Like, last week against the Texans, they had a touchdown drive where it was 52 yards, they rushed all 52 yards, okay? They don't have to do it that way anymore. They can make some plays down the field because you can get the ball to Robert Woods and you can get the ball to Treylon Burks and you can get the ball to Chigakonkwo. It's a big, big difference. And so you're right, Derek, it will be harder. You know, they'll be more keyed up for him. They'll be ready to force him to do some things he maybe doesn't like to do. But he's also going to have number 22 back there to take some of the heat off of him, because I can guarantee you this, Jacksonville is a hell of a lot more concerned about him than they are about Josh Dobbs.
You're right. We're talking Corey Curtis news, too. Now, Corey, one guy that I do want to talk about, and I want to rave about him, and I just want to hear what you have to say about him, is Kevin Byard. Because when everybody else was sitting and resting, he wanted to play. And not only did he want to play, he showed up like the all-pro guy that he is. He looked like the best safety in the National Football League last night. And that, to me, showed me how much he cares about winning and how much he cares about winning for this team.
Oh, I mean, look, the mayor has got all sorts of pride, and he is – you know, look, Mace, you are a pro's pro. I mean, you put in the work. You had the fine details. He is the same way. It's all about the fine details. This guy's got 27 career interceptions. 27. That's a ton. That is a ton. He's had 5 seasons where he's had 4 or more interceptions. So he didn't just flash one time and do this. He's doing it every year. And let me take you through the second interception, because I was just so impressed, not just by the play, but the whole thing. He jumps the route, and he did what he always does. He catches the ball. The guy never drops the ball when he gets his hands on him. That's one of the things that separates him to me as a DB. But he gets the ball. He's immediately headed the other way with it. And you know what he did as soon as he took 3 steps? He shifted the ball from his left arm to his right arm on the sideline. That's the fine details. that's the kind of pro that guy is, and you're absolutely right. He basically said, if I'm healthy, I'm out there, and not just but for me, but for the guys in this locker room who put it on the line each and every day.
We're talking to Corey Curtis from Channel 2. Corey, I'm gonna ask the tough question in hindsight here. Of course, hindsight is 2020, but I want to go back to discussions that you had in the preseason, because I can remember what I was saying. I remember saying this verbatim as I was watching Malik Willis. And this was maybe not at the end of the preseason, but I said, if he were comfortable being the backup next year, I think that would be good progress for him, given where he had come from in the Liberty system. You know, he's transferred. He was a project. He was a classic project. Do you think they took too much of a leap of faith in making him the backup from day one?
I think the leap of faith was in that Tannehill was going to be healthy for all 17 games. Because, you know, talking with Mike Vrabel and some of the conversations they had, they were confident that, you know, with where he was at, they could get through a game or two. And they did that, right? When they played the Texans and the Chiefs, they went down to Houston and won. They took the Chiefs to overtime. And you're like, okay, got through those two games. But then when Tannehill got hurt again, you know, then now you got a problem. And obviously now you're finishing the season. And he's just not ready. Because like you said, you know, we knew he was a year, probably 2 years, of a project. And, you know, with the 53-man roster, you know, they make these decisions on keeping two quarterbacks and usually, you know, putting one on the practice squad. You know, I think most people are at a point now where we'd like to see the NFL come up with some system where there's three quarterbacks on the roster. Because now, you lose a quarterback and, you know, you got one guy for the rest of the game and you're just hoping he doesn't get hurt. But, yeah, that was a gamble. You know, that was a gamble for sure. But let me ask this at the same time. Did you stumble upon somebody better? Is Dobbs better than Logan Woodside? You know, because I think you can look at it and say, you know, he might offer a little bit of upside. So it might be a mistake that ends off paying in the long run.
Corey Curtis, News 2. We appreciate you, Corey. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Should be fun. I know everybody's a whole lot more interested in this game and optimistic about it being a game than they were about 24 hours ago.
And it's a whole lot more interesting than we ever expected it to be a few weeks ago. But appreciate you, Corey Curtis. Coming up next, we'll see Mike Vrabel at the podium. He'll recap the Titans' loss to the Cowboys last night. That's coming up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Able to get the ball out of his hand. And I thought he was, you know, made some really good throws on third down. You know, we had the situation there at the end of the half, you know, which is good to be able to get that ball over there to Traylon and get us some points there before the end of the half. So, you know, a lot of positives, a lot of things that we'll have to improve on and, you know, see where we go next week.
What kind of goes into that decision as you evaluate both quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, I think in the end it's the same at every – who gives you the best chance to win one game. You know, that's where we're at. That's the only thing that matters is winning one game, getting healthy, getting rested, getting recovered, and then winning one game and finding out who's going to do that. And they probably both will at some point in time.
Wyatt, can you take us back through the process of the decision to sign Josh sight unseen off of a practice squad at the quarterback position? Because, you know, there's not a lot of game film on him from regular season. What made him worth the risk?
Well, I mean, I think you're just trying to evaluate what you know, when Ryan's unavailable at that point in time, and now going forward, what the vision that you have for the position, how you think you can have somebody come in here and learn and work with, you know, went through a bunch of names, went through a bunch of conversations, and you know that's who we ended up with, and. You know, excited that he's here, and you know, I thought he took advantage of his opportunity, and you know, we'll see where that leads.
Did anybody on the staff, scouting wise, or coaching staff, have any prior connection to him to kind of give you some insight on him?
I don't think any. You know, nobody coached him per se. I think just you know the evaluations that we've had from him in the past, and kind of what he's done, and his ability to, you know, he had some you know, veteran presence, not a whole lot of. You know, game experience, but certainly has been around and been in this league and, you know, is prepared. And that was something that was evident from an early point in time when he got here.
With the production and the decisiveness we saw last night, what makes the decision tough?
You know, I just want to make sure that we're, you know, every decision that we make, we want to try to put some thought into and make sure that it's thought out. And, you know, we'll see what goes after this weekend.
As far as that decision going into yesterday, like, how much was it something that you may not have gotten from Malik Willis as opposed to just wanting to get Dobbs out there to see what you...
It was pretty much everything, you know. Just make a decision and go from there.
How much did downfield element in a passing game help last night? How important was it to get some downfield shots?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, huge for to be able to move the ball down the field and have Racy come down with it. And, you know, going to need to see some other guys that can go and, you know, make some plays, or whether it's the catch and runs, we've seen those. Our ability to execute some of those plays that to get guys to the second level. Julius had a nice one of those. And, you know, we'll continue to try to throw the ball down the field. We have to connect. You know, I thought Traylon did his best to adjust to that ball. I think that there's some really cool things there. And fortunately, felt like the guy grabbed his left arm and, you know, he wasn't able to catch it. But for him to come back and, you know, not fall, not run out of bounds, you know, I thought he was in a great position to adjust to that ball. You know, we just need, you know, more of those.
Frustrated were you, I guess, with the drops and what has to happen there other than guys just simply catching the ball? You
know? Guys simply just have to catch the ball. I mean, I don't know. We had 19 jugs machines and everybody catches them on the jugs. You just, you know, when you go out there, you only get one opportunity sometimes and you have to hit it. And it's the same with situations on defense. You know, when a play is needed to be made, you know, to win, you have to make them.
How much did the approach maybe of this week and having now a weekend to rest help get this team a little bit healthier for this final game?
Well, I mean, it should. You know, it should. And again, I have a lot of appreciation for the way that everybody handled last week. I know it was different and unique, but it was the situation. And again, we can't avoid distractions. The only thing we can do is how we handle them. I thought everybody was prepared. I thought they played hard, not without mistake. I thought we beat ourselves too many times to win the football game. But, you know, I thought guys were ready to go. I thought they, you know, executed at times. You know, looked like exactly like we needed to do to win. Just unfortunate that it wasn't consistent enough and we made too many mistakes.
How crowded is the training room during a weekend off?
I mean, I think that the guys that need the treatment will be there. I mean, it's, you know, there's nothing more important than the health of the team. And if you can't play and you don't play, you know, you're expected to be in there in treatment. And I'm sure there'll be a big group because everybody, you know, they want to feel better. They don't want to not feel well going into the biggest week of the season.
Assuming you do get some of the kind of the big names back that rested the other night, how much of a psychological lift does that provide to?
I mean, I think it can. I mean, I think, you know, again, this is it's about going out and performing. So the players that go out there have to perform and have to do their job, and have to do their job well, not just show up and walk out there. That won't be enough.
David Long would be eligible to return after 4 weeks. Is there a chance he could get activated into his window this week?
Yeah, we better get to it here before too long. So, hopeful that maybe he does, and, you know, he can try to see if he can help us through a week of practice.
You got any indication from the league on when you'll play? And I guess your schedule will be dictated by whether it's Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, I would imagine that's going to go through Monday night. So based on however that Monday night game goes, we'll be ready to play whenever they want us to play.
That kind of, I guess, it's a big decision. You only have the one IR remaining. You know, is it certainly, you know, if assuming David Long is ready to go, is it he's the guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're kind of running out of options. I mean, I would say, like, if you're talking about Harold Landry, yeah, he's not going to be coming back.
What about the
the challenge with Jacksonville.
Why are they laughing at you, John? I mean,
I'm laughing at you.
Yeah, just ask the question. What is the challenge, Mike, I guess, against Jacksonville second time around, you know, based on what you saw?
Well, the challenge is just try to do this, some of the things that we did really well, which was, you know, have nine explosive gains on offense, move the football, not turn it over, not make some very, you know, critical mistakes in the way that we handled the football, not give up X plays, not allow them to catch short gains that turn into 20 or 30 yards, catch and runs. I mean, if they beat you, they beat you, but not beating ourselves. You know, trying to affect the quarterback, and again, that's by getting there, forcing them off the spot. That's by tipping passes. That's like, you know, doing some of those things a little bit better. You know, and making sure that we're not beating ourselves. That there's a lot of good things from that tape. It's a close football game. I mean, we're winning the football game on their side of the 50, and we, you know, turn it over, gain another first down on an X play into the red zone, turn it over. You know, then we're backed up. You know, don't execute a blocking assignment. The quarterback gets the ball stripped out. And defensively, we give up a third and two for a catch and run touchdown. A lot of those things that just really not making them earn it. You know, we're just making mistakes there. And if they earn it and they beat us, then that's what they do.
Some of you guys that were unavailable last night and other guys maybe were not completely familiar with what's going on, how much do you appreciate the way Kevin Byard played last night?
Thanked him countless times for his leadership throughout the week, his performance. You know, again, we need, you know, our best players to play good for us to win. And, you know, it was a winning performance. You know, just, you know, with ball production, I thought he tackled well. I thought he communicated and again, gave us a presence there, not only in the game but throughout the week.
This, you know, this six-game streak that you have of losing, like, how tough is it to flip that switch and go out there and do what you have to do, you know, this upcoming week against Jacksonville?
Well, I mean, I think we've been through this. Whether you win six or lose six, it doesn't matter really what you did last week. It's not going to matter what you did yesterday. We just have to play better. And, you know, we've seen it happen in this league numerous times throughout the year, throughout this season, last season. You know, there's only one game that matters, and that's this one.
Any chance the Raven or Zach could get into the mix for left tackle for the finale?
I think we'll look at everything, but, you know, I think we see a lot of things differently. So we'll continue to try to, you know, give ourselves the best chance to succeed, and, you know, just – I think we all kind of just have to make sure we understand what we're looking at when we look at it. And nobody's blocking perfectly. Nobody's running the ball. Nobody's throwing it perfectly. But, you know, we're just trying to make sure we get the guys in the right place.
How much I know the pass pressure wasn't great, but with Trey and Roger, is there technique breakdown that's hurting them in the end?
Well, technique, I don't know. Grab the guy around the waist down the field. We're not coaching that technique. I think Roger's an aggressive player, and I think he'll start to get some of those calls. We just need, you know, maybe our receivers start getting some of those calls where, you know, we throw our hands up, and I don't know. But yeah, I mean, we can't. You know, we got a challenge down the field. Roger did at times. They tried him down the sideline. You know, he had the guy covered on the side. I think he was an aggressive player. Trey, I don't have an answer for you, Paul. I don't.
I guess we've seen the last of Andrew Adams. How much did you appreciate how he came in here?
Well, I mean, he did. He just come in here from another team and learn the system really quickly. Played a bunch of positions for us. Had some production, played through a lot of pain and bumps and bruises and wrist and this and that. And, you know, it meant something to him. It meant a lot to him to have this opportunity. And, you know, disappointed that he won't be able to help us here going forward. But, you know, we'll see where things go in the future. But,
he did everything that we asked him to, and I think he did everything that he could do to take advantage of his opportunity.
Coach, what's the message to the team this week?
You know, we'll kind of stew on it a little bit, but, you know, we'll get these guys back. We'll get them rested. You know, I think just looking at it right now, that everything that happened, everything that everybody's saying, the good, the bad, none of it matters. You know, the only thing that matters is how prepared we are, how ready we are to go down there to execute, and then ultimately how we perform on game day, you know, with a lot on the line.
Practice schedule and all once the league decides if you're playing Saturday or Sunday?
If it's Saturday, then we'll make Tuesday a Wednesday. And if it's Sunday, Wednesday gets to stay a Wednesday.
Performance, were there some holes that he could have hit, or did he get to a, you know, pretty solid job in his first start there?
I wouldn't say there was a ton of room. I thought the best run was being physical. So yeah, there's some things we have to block better and make some more and make some guys miss and go from there. But yeah, I mean, I just think there was some pressure and movement and things that we have to get cleaned up, kind of get into the rhythm of the run game. That's something that we have to be able to do, whether it's, you know, zone scheme or gap scheme, you know, getting some of those things going.
All right, there you go. That was Mike Vrabel at the podium at St. Thomas Sports Park. Now, Mike Vrabel says they're indecisive about one big decision that they have to make for Week 18. I don't think that it should be a tough decision. And two, Mike Vrabel being indecisive about it, I think hurts this football team. And I'll explain why coming up next. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And hey, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace is presented by Hair Club. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Mike Vrabel just took the podium breaking down the Titans' loss to the Cowboys last night. But I think the biggest thing, the number one thing that I was looking for in this press conference was how Mike Vrabel talked about Josh Dobbs and if Mike Vrabel was going to come out and say Josh Dobbs is going to be the starter against Jacksonville in Week 18. And I think the biggest takeaway, at least for me, and y'all correct me if you found something different, but I think the biggest takeaway for me was that Mike Vrabel said it's going to be a tough decision of who's going to start in Week 18. And I think that that's bad for this football team, and this is why. Because I think if you go ahead and say right now that Josh Dobbs is the starter for Week 18, you can couch it with, you know, Malik has worked really hard all year long to be able to be a contributing factor for this football team. But we just found that maybe Malik got out there a little bit too soon. We're going to give him some more time to develop, some more time to hold the clipboard, some more time to learn. So that way, come time next year, he can be ready to help this football team. Whether that's a complete, you know, load of crap or not, he can say, look, we're going to go with Josh Dobbs moving forward so we can give Malik the opportunity to learn. Now that Mike Vrabel has come out and said, you know, it's going to be a tough decision, we're going to take the week to think about it, we're going to take the week to evaluate these two quarterbacks, then if and when Josh Dobbs gets the starting job on Sunday against the Jags, that shows that Malik lost the job once again. And that shows that the Titans don't believe in Malik for another week in a row. And I think that that hurts Malik Willis. Just come out and say Josh Dobbs is the starter. And then you can use whatever excuse you want to say, hey, Malik isn't ready. But we believe in Malik.
Everybody in the building knows Joshua Dobbs is the starter next week. This is done for one reason and one reason only: to make Jacksonville prepare for both quarterbacks. That's all it's done for. I think Joshua Dobbs has proven that he gives them, at least he gives the offense a better opportunity to look like an NFL offense. He gives Todd Downing the better opportunity at opening up the playbook even more than what he did last night. So I don't think there's really a hard decision that coaching staff needs to make. I think they understand that Joshua Dobbs is the starting quarterback moving forward. He gives them the best opportunity to, like I said, look like an offense, but we don't need to tell, the NFL is not forcing us or telling us we need to make a decision today. So why should I tell everybody, including the Jacksonville Jaguars, that Joshua Dobbs is going to be our quarterback, even though Jacksonville is going to assume that Joshua Dobbs is going to be the quarterback coming into next week. They're going to prepare for Joshua Dobbs. But he's just playing a game that I think every NFL quarterback, every NFL coach plays at this time of year. If I don't have to go out and tell you who my starter is, then I'm not. What I'm going to do is say, hey, listen, we're going to make the decision. It's going to be a hard decision, and we will let you know later on down the week. But there's no sense on a Thursday, well, Friday after a Thursday game, that I need to make a decision on who my quarterback is going to be. We know who is going to be in-house, but I'm not going to tell y'all.
I think, Derek, you're dead on. And it's one of those where it's so obvious. I can see where you're coming from, Caroline. It's like it's so obvious. Why even go through the charade?
Right.
Like Jacksonville is going to know that, you know, they're not that dumb, right? They're an unsuccessful organization for the most part over the long haul, but they can figure out that Josh Dobbs is going to start. I wonder, too, if there's a little bit of respect for Malik Willis, too. Malik Willis was probably told, we're going to go with Josh this week. We'll see how it goes, and then when we reconvene, we'll make a decision. So maybe they haven't gotten around to telling Malik Willis yet. So maybe that's a little part of it, that he wants to tell Malik Willis officially, even though the writing's on the wall, he wants to tell Malik Willis officially face-to-face before he says it publicly to the media. I think that might be part of it.
And I hear you. I hear both of you about, you know, use every competitive advantage you have at your disposal. And dishing out who the starting quarterback is going to be next week doesn't necessarily give you that competitive edge. But that's also not a competitive edge that every team in the NFL has, because most teams in the NFL have the same starting quarterback week in and week out. So I understand the idea of Vrabel using that. And I understand, Willie, maybe they haven't had those conversations with Malik Willis and they almost went to save him. It's almost like a level of respect. But I look at it in an opposite way of, I think that opening up more speculation from the outside about who's going to be the starting quarterback and opening up more hope for Malik Willis of, if you don't come out and say, you know, point blank, Josh Dobbs is going to be our starter, and use whatever excuse you want. I would say, you know, if I'm Mike Vrabel, I would have already had the conversation with Malik of, look, I think we did you a disservice by starting you this early because you weren't ready, and we're going to do everything in our power to get you ready so you can learn and you can sit on the sidelines and you can learn from Ryan and you can learn from Josh Dobbs. You can be ready to help this football team next week. If you don't go ahead and squash that from the beginning, then that just opens up speculation. And let's say, you know, Mike Vrabel says we're going to have a competition next week and best man wins. Well, they're going to go with Josh Dobbs. If they are going to do what's best for this football team, Josh Dobbs is going to be the starter. Like, we all agree. I think everybody in the city agrees. Everybody who watched that game last night agrees. Josh Dobbs is the better quarterback of the two right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you open up speculation, then that just proves even more to me, if they continue to go with Josh Dobbs, that they don't believe in Malik Willis. And I don't think that they want to give off that message, whether it's true or not.
Well, I don't think they, at this juncture, from what they've seen, I don't think they believe he's ready yet. Now, will he ever be ready? I don't know. I mean, I wish I had a crystal ball, but that's not the case.
Where you feel so, right now. Right exactly. Now, if you had to say he can or he can't, he will not. What would you
eventually,
say?
I think I would lean more toward eventually he can be a backup in his league. I don't know about, you know, him being a starter. That's, I need to see more than what I've seen. Yeah. But, you know, he's a rookie guy. He's a rookie thrown into a unfavorable position, and he's not ready, and he showed it. He showed that he's not ready. So what do you do? You go out and get a guy that's a veteran guy, may not have a lot of experience, but you just think, you believe that the places he has been, he's learned a lot, and he can bring that knowledge and that poise to this team, and they desperately needed it at that position now that Ryan Tannehill is out. So I think eventually Malik can be a quarterback in this league. that's not saying he can be a starting quarterback. I'm just saying he can be a quarterback in this league. And I've seen some bad damn quarterbacks. So I think I'm qualified to say he can be a quarterback in this league eventually. But a starting quarterback, I don't know. I mean, he hadn't shown that. But right now, Joshua Dobbs is your quarterback, and he should remain your quarterback until you stop playing, because he gives you the best opportunity to win a football game.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. It's your day, so of course we'll get back into your calls, your texts. I see them lining up. We'll get into those. Plus, another thing that Mike Vrabel had to say in his press conference just now at the podium that makes me think that he is not very happy at one certain position group. We'll get into that coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, Caroline Fenton in for Chase McCabe. 1025-1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.